From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the second day of June 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana. And Harry Cooney of Growmark will join us on this Tuesday to take up the agricultural energy markets. And in 26 minutes, Don Day normally joins us on a Tuesday. But today, unlike yesterday when they were supposed to be here, the folks from Chesapeake Energy will be along to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. One along the way, the statisticians from the five top corn-producing states in the nation will update crop progress in their regions in order from number one to five. They are Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, Minnesota, and of course, Indiana. Hey, stay with us for this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Public Radio from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on a Tuesday afternoon, futures finished like this in the nearby wheat pit. Soft red at 669.5, down 5 cents. September for 696.5, down 4.5. And December at 719.5, 3.5 cents lower. Kansas City hard red winter wheat, 7 cents the loss, to settle at $7.19. July corn futures for the day, 449.5, the settlement price, 3.75 higher. September up 4 cents at 459.75. And December corn, 472.75, 3.5 higher. March contract, $4.83, up 4. The May at 490.25, 4.25 higher. July soybean futures, $12.09, down 9.5 cents. The August down 6 at 1169.5 on the settlement price. And September beans, $11.15, down 6. November contract, $10.82.5. The new crop harvest month, 3.5 cents lower. January futures, $10.87.5, down a penny. And the March soybeans at $10.81, down 1. July bean meal futures off $3.30 at $3.87.50. The August down $1.80 at $3.67.80. July oil 5 cents higher at $40.50 for the soybeans. And the August contract at $40.67. August soybean oil up 6 cents. June live cattle futures today $79.27.5, $1.25 lower. August down $1 at $80.65. August feeders were $3 lower. That's down the limit at $97.17.5. The SEPs at $97.32.5, and the feeder cattle down the $3 limit as well. June lean hogs down 3 at $59.75, and July at $62.15, down that $3 limit. You are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets are doing at this hour. Settlement prices in the crude oil futures at $68.55 a barrel for the nearby July, down just 3 cents on the day. August at $69.43, 6 cents higher. June ethanol futures, $1.78, up a penny. And July at $1.78.4, up 1.5 cents. Natural gas, July futures, $4.14, 10 and 9 tenths of a cent lower on the day. And the RBOB gasoline, 8 tenths of a cent higher at $1.93.2. Heating oil, that's diesel fuel, $1.80.2, up 2 and 6 tenths. In the nearby July contract, July propane futures at $83.10, up 4 and 7 tenths of a cent. Gold futures, $983.20 an ounce, up $4.60. The Dow at 87.64, 44 points higher. And the U.S. dollar currently trading at 78.4, is down 0.94. CRB index at 260.21, back at the CME group, is up 0.6 on the afternoon. Here's the weather forecast for the Tuesday region from our own meteorologist, Ed Kieser. He says tonight in the far north, cloudy, cooler, scattered showers, elsewhere mostly cloudy. Some areas of rain and thunderstorms. Lows will range this evening from 47 in the northern parts of Illinois to 67 in the far south, says Mr. Kieser. Tomorrow in the north, mostly cloudy, a few scattered showers. In central and southern sections, cloudy, areas of rain and some embedded thunderstorms, primarily in the south. Highs tomorrow will range from 58 near Lake Michigan to 78 in the far south. The extended forecast says the northern third of the two states will pick up most of the rainfall today, with the heaviest rainfall shifting into central sections tonight and into southern sections tomorrow. 1 to 2 inch amounts should be common. Locally heavier amounts are possible on Wednesday night. Rain will likely continue in the southern third of Illinois and Indiana, while other areas remain cool and dry.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois and Illinois Public Media. On the line with us from his office in Newmarket, Indiana, is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. Good afternoon to you, Wayne. Still waiting for the rainfall to come there, I suppose, this afternoon, aren't you?
Hey, we've got a nice sunny afternoon. We've made tremendous progress for a lot of guys that still have a few acres of beans to plant. We're going to see a lot of the area probably be finishing up planting here today, and you know, a few guys with a few acres left, but a lot of ponds being replanted in today, and a lot of beans being finished up over in our area.
Okay, the barbecue season will begin then in your area by the time these guys are done, I think.
I think so. I think it'll be ready for this weekend.
Well, that would be good because the livestock has been suffering. In particular, the cattle were down hard today. What happened there?
You know, the cattle and the hogs both down, the cash coming in a little weaker than what was expected, and just continuing, you know, the hog farmers taking it on both ends, low cash prices and high corn and high meal prices. And we've got, you know, we've got some real problems in the livestock industry out there, Todd, and it's a shame, and we'd sure like to see these prices on the livestock and meat come back a little bit for these guys.
Well, fundamentally, do you have an idea of what's been happening and why prices can't rebound in the livestock industry?
Well, I think, you know, we've had very good supplies, number one. We're coming in here, we're having less disposable income, number two, and it has been sort of crummy for the barbecue season, number three. So all those put together, why it just hasn't been moving the pork and beef out at the retail level like it should be.
Let's turn your attention then to the grains and the oil seeds. Talk to me about what happened at the CME Group.
Well, you know, we started, the overnight trade was a little weaker. When we walked in this morning, why, you know, crude oil was down 50, 60 cents. The dollar was down slightly. And the Dow Jones was under some pressure as far as we were going along. So all the outside markets that really stimulated the market greatly on Monday were not following suit and going along. This morning, we didn't see the big fund influx of funds for the second day. Or, you know, they didn't fall in like they did yesterday. And we opened easier, and then we gained back as the day went on a little bit, and right in the last little spurt, in the last 3 minutes, where the corn market basically went, in the last 15 minutes, went from unchanged to up four, and was only up two with about 2 minutes to go. So we did see a little fund money flow back into the corn today, and the wheat, I mean the beans, as hard as they've been driven up lately, why just a little bit of profit taking and not near the activity that was going on. And also the forecast for a little rain over in the northern province of China, where they're looking for some. There's still an awful lot of talk about whether the Chinese will put some of their reserves back into the old crop market and look to replace them with new crop also. That adds a little bit of hope to maybe not drawing down our old crop stocks as bad as some were expecting.
One final question before I let you go. When you take a look at new crop corn, we're pushing into that, 472, 475 area. Would you be a willing seller for maybe 10% or of the crop at this time?
This was our next level, 472 to 475 was where we were going to do that, Todd. So that's what we've talked about, and we'd have to say yes, because we still agree that these are going to be good levels come fall.
Okay, thanks much.
Thank you.
That's Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. If you get the opportunity, you can listen to Wayne again if you'd like at willag.org. You might not be able to do that during the planting season. I know you're awfully busy at this point. But if you miss the programs and you'd like to hear what Wayne had to say or any of our other analysts that are on during the Closing Market Report and the Opening Market Report, you can always dial this number, 217-333-3434. That's 217-333-3434. We update the phone system. It's just a voicemail or answering machine at 10:15 and 3:15 daily. They will have the current markets in the morning and the closing markets in the afternoon, and just a bit of analysis along with that at 217-333-3434. 3434.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of this program and of Commodity Week, both of which you can hear anytime you'd like on our website at willag.org. The state statisticians have been busy. As of May the 31st, they say producers nationwide planted 93% of the corn crop. That's only 1 point behind last year's pace and 4 points behind the average. Planting was completed in Nebraska and North Carolina. Some favorable fieldwork days in Illinois, Indiana, North Dakota, and Ohio allowed planting to advance by 20 or more percentage points in those lagging states. And in these states, except Ohio, planting lagged between 13 and 17 points behind the average. That's due, of course, to the saturated soils earlier in the season. Emergence nationwide at 73% was 13 points behind average, although corn emergence advanced more than 20 points. Rather, 29 points last week in much of the Corn Belt. Development lags significantly behind the five-year average. The corn crop was rated 70%, good to excellent. 66% of the soybean acreage has been seeded, that as of May the 31st, slightly behind last year and 13 points behind the five-year rolling average. Producers in Ohio were able to plant 40% of their acreage during the week. Emergence at 36% nationwide. Progressed 19 points during the week. That's 6 points ahead of last year's development pace, but 15 points behind the five-year average. And finally, for the winter wheat, development of that crop had reached 77% headed by the week's end, compared with 73% last year and 81% for the five-year average. 45% of the winter wheat acreage was good to excellent, unchanged from last week's condition rating. Now, with updates from their states, here are the statisticians.
This is Greg Tayson, director from USDA National Ag Statistics Service Iowa Field Office with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending May 31st, 2009. Iowa received rainfall early last week, but weather conditions turned warm and dry, causing some concerns over topsoil crusting. Reports indicate 1% of the corn and soybean acres have been or will be replanted. With fertilizer applications nearly complete, producers continue treating fields for weed control and reportedly good corn stands as heat units continue to rise. Corn planting progressed to 99% complete, 3 percentage points ahead of last year's pace, but equal to the five-year average, with 90% of the corn acres emerged on par with the five-year average. The condition was rated 79%, good to excellent. Soybean planting advanced 11 percentage points from last week to 91% complete ahead of last year and the five-year average, but southern districts continue to lag behind the state average. 59% of the state's soybean crop has emerged ahead of last year, but still 1 percentage point behind average. Soybean condition was rated 76%, good to excellent. This is Greg Tayson, director from USDA Iowa Field Office.
This is Brad Schwab reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending May 31st. Variable weather patterns were the norm once again last week, including above-normal precipitation in 6 out of the 9 crop reporting districts and allowing only an average of 3.5 days suitable for field work. Many farmers in the northern districts were able to finish up corn planting, even if it was done in less than ideal conditions. Planting corn in the southern half of the state was brought to a halt due to the continued rains, and this will lead to some corn acreage being replanted. Considering the rapidly approaching prevented plantings date of June 5th, some farmers will be contemplating switching their corn to soybeans. Corn planting did make significant progress last week, advancing by 20 percentage points to 82% complete. However, still trailing last year's 91% and the five-year average of 98%. 52% of the corn crop was reported emerged, compared with 74% 1 year ago, and 92% for the five-year average. Leading the state in corn emergence was the Northwestern Crop Reporting District at 65%. And the average height of all corn emerged was 5 inches, which compares to 4 inches 1 year ago and 9 inches for the five-year average. Soybean planting advanced to 34% complete. This compares to 54% 1 year ago and 82% for the 5-year average. 6% of the crop was reported emerged, trailing last year's 18% and the 60% 5-year average. Leading the state in soybean emergence was also the Northwestern Crop Reporting District at 16%. The soft red winter wheat crop was reported 54% filled, compared with 24% last year and 63% for the 5-year average. 14% of the crop was reported turning yellow, compared with 3% 1 year ago and 31% normally. The condition of the crop was rated 10% poor, 34% fair, 43% good, and 13% excellent. This has been Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Becky Summer of the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service Nebraska Field Office with the Crop Weather Report for the week ending May 31st, 2009. Temperatures averaged 1 degree below normal across the state. The southwest and south central districts averaged 1.5 inches of precipitation, with only limited amounts recorded in the eastern third of the state. Virtually all corn has emerged in conditions rated 89% good or excellent. Soybean planting is mostly complete ahead of last year and 9 days ahead of the average. 3/4 of the sorghum has been planted. Oat conditions rated mostly good or excellent and 1/4 has headed. Wheat conditions are mostly good and excellent and remain above last year. 2/3 of the wheat has headed. In the west, dry bean and proso millet planting were well underway. Alfalfa first cutting is nearly halfway complete and conditions rated mostly good or excellent. Pasture and range conditions were mostly good or excellent and above year-ago levels. This is Becky Summer of the USDA's NAS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report for the week ending May 31, 2009. The first corn condition ratings of the year indicated the crop in generally good condition statewide. The condition of the corn crop was rated at 2% poor, 21% fair, 66% good, and 11% excellent. Dry conditions persisted throughout portions of central and southern Minnesota, while earlier weak rains in the northwest halted fieldwork for a number of producers. Post-emergence herbicide applications was underway. However, days were limited by strong winds in some areas. Farmers nearly completed corn planting across the state, with 99% planted, and 90% has emerged, ahead of last year and the 5-year average pace. Soybean planting advanced to 89% complete, and 57% emerged, both ahead of last year and the average. Spring wheat and barley emergence progressed significantly from last week. However, both remain behind last year and the average. That's the weekly crop weather for the week ending May 31, 2009. I'm Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS, Minnesota Field Office.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of the USDA NAS Field Office for Indiana, and this is the crop weather report for the week ending May 31st. Widely scattered showers across the state allowed farmers in some isolated areas, mainly northern Indiana, to rapidly complete field work. Across the rest of the state, despite farmers' extra effort, field work still lagged behind due to wet field conditions from unrelenting storm systems. Corn planting progress for Indiana was about 6 days behind last year and 17 days behind the average planting pace. The relentless showers also slowed field work for soybean planting, leaving the state about 3 days behind last year and 14 days behind the 5-year average. 78% of the intended corn acreage has been planted, still behind last year's 86% planted at this time and the 5-year average of 95%. By area of the state, 91% has been planted in the north, 80% in the central region, and 51% in southern Indiana. 52% of the planted corn acreage has emerged, compared with 67% for last year and 85% for the 5-year average. Planting of soybeans for the week remained behind the average pace, with 50% of the intended soybean acreage planted, compared to 58% for last year and 78% for the 5-year average. 21% of the planted soybean acreage has emerged, compared with 25% for last year and 56% for the 5-year average. 90% of the winter wheat acreage is headed, compared to 86% last year and 92% for the 5-year average. Winter wheat condition was rated at 76% good to excellent, compared to 74% last year at this time. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NAS Field Office.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Time to take our weekly look at the agricultural energy markets. Harry Cooney of GrowMark out of Bloomington, Illinois, is on the phone line with us. Good afternoon to you, Harry.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Lots of things to talk about. Why don't you start with refinery glitch, and we'll move on from there.
Well, right here in the Midwest, we're seeing gasoline prices very strong compared to the rest of the country, and especially east of the Mississippi. There's a problem at one of the big refineries in the Chicagoland area around Whiting, Indiana, and this is nothing that's just occurred. It was down for some maintenance here a couple months ago, and they're just not getting it back up and going. So that's making gasoline, especially in the Midwest, pretty tight. And a lot of our local pumps are starting to reflect this, and this will eventually get fixed. They're talking about by mid to late June they'll get this fixed. But, boy, in the summertime is sure a great time for refinery glitches.
Yeah, that's a tough time for refinery glitches because the price of gasoline generally goes up anyway, and you can see that price on crude oil has been marching higher. Tell me how that's happened.
Well, we've had the U.S. dollar drop just at a very fast pace in the past month or so here. If you look in the futures market, the month of May it just tumbled, and it's starting the month of June by tumbling even more. And when the dollar falls, that's bullish for commodities in general, and especially in the oil market. And at the same time, then, we have a few of these here large hedge funds, index funds starting to come back in and say, hey, maybe we missed the bottom. This thing looks like an uptrend again, and they're jumping on board. And so there's a lot of buying coming into crude oil here in the past couple of weeks, and it's just run it up fast. We hit a low there at $33, and now we're all the way back up to almost $70 today. We closed at $68.55 here today. Also, though, at the same time, the Dow is rallying. The Dow is breaking out on the charts. The Dow itself is over the 200-day moving average today, and those charts are starting to look more impressive. So oil traders are thinking, if the Dow is going up, maybe the economy is getting a little better. If the economy is getting better, maybe we'll have fuel demand getting better down the road also.
Any inflation scare in the process?
Oh, probably so. I mean, you have a lot of commodities up. I mean, gold's back up almost at $1,000 an ounce, closing at $980 or $985 today. Anytime you have that type of action, silver was up to, you start getting the inflation type of action. You've had the grain markets break out in here. I see new crop corn up above its 200-day moving average and such. So you have a lot of commodities in general starting to look much more bullish, and that would be inflation in general.
And then finally, on the crude oil, what can you spec it out to? How high do you see it going?
Well, I think that probably in the 65 to 75 we'll start running into problems. If you do look at the long term, though, the big picture, we topped out at 147. We bottomed out at about 33. A full 50% retracement would be back right around $90. I can't rule that out because the trend is up. I'm not in that $90 camp, but that's just definitely possible in the long run.
Thanks much, Harry, for being with us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Harry Cooney is with GrowMark out of Bloomington, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon, once a month, to take a look, our weekly look, actually, at the agricultural weather. He and, well, three others rotate through that position. Back in 2 minutes when we'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy about the agricultural weather forecast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. The release of a state police report portrays a former medical student who was fatally shot by police in Vermilion County as a troubled man with mental health issues. In the 320-page report, prosecutors say 23-year-old Toto Kaiyu was experiencing hallucinations and episodes of paranoia when he led state police on a three-county car chase on the night of April 6th. The report says officers disabled Kaiyu's car, and he emerged gripping a machete. The Texas native was shot and killed by officers when he charged at them along I-74 near Oakwood. The report says Kaiyu didn't blink as he told officers to shoot. He was living and taking courses, medical courses, in Carbondale. Administrators there said Kaiyu was often absent. An economics professor at the University of Illinois says it's hard to say whether the bankruptcy of General Motors makes now a better time to purchase a new vehicle. George Deltas says consumer reaction to GM's Chapter 11 filing will tell a lot about car sales over the next couple of weeks. But Deltas says the public shouldn't be wary of what happens with GM, saying the company will reemerge from bankruptcy protection in some form. He says another manufacturer will always purchase a product line as long as it's viable. Meanwhile, most GM dealers in East Central Illinois expect to keep selling cars despite the manufacturer's bankruptcy. Those include Bill Abbott in Monticello. The owner says he didn't receive a contract cancellation notice and plans to stay in business for some time. Dave McFadden of Anthem, Chevrolet, Buick, Pontiac, and Pupston says he's not concerned and is looking forward to a new GM emerging as the giant car maker it has been. And the co-owner of Rust Chevrolet in Cisna Park, Karen Rust Walder, says it doesn't plan on closing anytime soon, despite getting a letter ending its franchise agreement with GM. Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels is calling legislators back to the State House next week to resume work on a new state budget. He told members of the bipartisan State Budget Committee that the special legislative session would begin Thursday, June 11th. He says he hopes that gives lawmakers plenty of time to agree on a spending plan before the current budget expires on June 30th. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. On the line with us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast is Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Hello there, Todd.
Thanks for filling in today. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Tell me about this weather. It was, let's go back to yesterday because I was watching the line of thunderstorms that came across the middle part, upper third of Illinois, and it just looked like a freight train running across there. How much rainfall did they get?
Well, within that band there of heaviest rain, we saw it totals in excess of 2 inches, even a few isolated 3-inch amounts. In general, it was about an inch to inch and a half, but yeah, within some of those heavier storms, you did see totals in excess of 2 inches. And it's funny that you mentioned how things kind of look like a freight train there from a radar standpoint. That's what we term the nature of the thunderstorms that we saw yesterday, training over one area, and that's how you get the real significant totals over a short period of time.
I guess I haven't ever caught one that looked quite like that. How often do they happen? Because really, literally, it just looked like it was on a rail line running across the center of Illinois, and the red just kept, if you put it in a loop, it just stayed on that same line.
Yeah, actually, Todd, they're pretty frequent, especially at, well, this time of year, and then again, kind of late summer, August, and into early September. But you need the right setup, and the key component to that setup is actually a frontal boundary aligned from west to east, and thunderstorms kind of firing up right along that. And then your westerly winds kind of push it right to the east, so that's how you get it.
Is that what we're getting again in the next set of rainfall?
Well, with the next set of rainfall here across Illinois, probably not to the extent of what we saw yesterday. You are going to see at least some thunderstorms firing up, but yesterday it was more of a better setup here for that type of rain, especially with the hotter temperatures and the higher dew points here to the south. And so you've kind of gotten rid of that to some extent here today. But we are going to see at least a continuation of some rains today and tomorrow. Before then, actually, a little bit of a break in the action Thursday, Friday, and then rains return over the upcoming weekend. And actually, for the upcoming weekend, you probably have another setup similar to yesterday with that training of rain.
And then if you take a little further out look across the Midwest, either one, whichever flips your lid more, I suppose, what do you see?
Well, next week looks more of the same. It's not like you're wet the whole week, but you have these kind of 2 to 2.5 day stretches of rain. And within that window, some of the rain will be heavier in nature, but then you have about 2-3 days or so of dry weather in between these rain events. So more of the same, and from an impact standpoint, kind of a mixed bag. Obviously, you like to see drier weather in some of your wettest areas or areas that still need to be planted. But then for areas such as like Minnesota and western Iowa, which actually trended drier recently, the rains are going to improve soil moisture, specifically in those areas.
And finally, tell me a little bit about China, maybe 35 seconds left.
Yeah, China has trended drier in their northern corn and bean acreage. Those are the provinces of Heilong, Zhang, Jilin, and Liaoning. We are seeing a turnaround in the pattern that has produced the dryness here over the past 4 to 6 weeks. And thunderstorms have fired up across areas of northern China. And we see more on the way here over the next 10 days. So they're improving.
Thanks so much, Mark.
You're welcome, Ted.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.